Grace to you and peace from him who loved us, from him who washed us from our sins, from him who lives eternally and will welcome us home to heaven. Dear friends in Christ, loved ones of Fred Schmugge, but especially Carl and family. Imagine a young pastor driving back and forth from Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, wife and two little kids, started a mission in the Twin Cities and needed a place to stay. Always the home of Fred and Doris Schmugge with an open door, just a few blocks to the east of us here. Always with an open door, but with accommodations you could never find in a hotel. Because they would not have Doris's cooking and the sweet, sweet treats of baking that she was famous for. They would also not have the music. There were very detailed descriptions of the community based on solid research for the District Mission Board to introduce the young missionary to what is around us here. And in between our discussions, whistling. Something to the effect that, here am I, send me, send me. The words behind the tune. Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do, while the souls of men are dying and the Master calls for you. Take the task he gives you gladly, let his work your pleasure be, answer quickly when he calleth, here am I, send me, send me. You could pretty much summarize the life of our brother and loved one in that single hymn. Here am I, send me, with whatever you've given me for this time and this place. But just in case we might miss the confession and the life, but where the life really came from, this draft copy from October of 2004, updated and shared with both Carl and myself, was given, and it has a comment at the end. This is 3 pages now, and at the very end it says, I trust that a Bible-believing Lutheran pastor will be able to build a funeral sermon from these thoughts to the glory of our God. Yes, indeed. As well you could. But where would you look for, I mean, not just the hymns that are here, they're the 4 that we're singing today, but where would you look for what's the heart and core, the beginning, the middle, and the end of Fred's life that never ends? In 66 chapters of this book of books from God, where would be the heart of it? No doubt, Fred gives us 2 verses. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. I'll read from his not-so-favorite translation because it's been used here for so long, we'd have to use the King James, but this is from the NIV 84. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. That's where it all began, in the word-powered water of baptism. When his believing parents, not understanding, but just trusting God's command and promise, that this was another member of the nations that Jesus Christ commanded his church to baptize. Literally, it's all the ethnic groups. They brought little Fred to the baptismal font to be washed in those waters of God's power in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And nothing was ever the same after that. But it didn't end there either. As you well know, pastors and parents and Sunday school teachers and siblings and brothers and sisters in Christ, friends were constantly there to instruct and confirm and empower Fred in his faith. And I say that because as his pastor over those many years, I never found a time when he was not willing to listen to the Word of God. Even if somehow it corrected or slightly changed something that he was saying. No use for human opinion. You know that. Don't try to put that in there. But when it's the Word of God, I always found a soft heart, a willing mind, an eagerness to learn, to be corrected, to give correction, to share, to grow in faith. It was just constant. The siblings, what were there, 11 schmuggies around the, across the street or something? I wasn't alive at the time. I just heard the stories, not so much from Fred, but from others. Who cleaned the church? Mount Olive Lutheran Church in St. Paul. The schmuggies cleaned the church. So it's not too surprising that that kind of attitude continued from those waters, Fred would say. From those waters. Because not one of those things that you can mention in the life of this believing child of God would bring him any closer to God. He was already there. And already there by grace alone. Fred could tell you from memory what Paul has already said in the five chapters leading up to the chapter 6 with our verses here. Especially in chapter 3. Where the Lord's apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, puts all of us alike as Jews and Gentiles under the wrath of God because, as it is written, and he's quoting from multiple passages of the Old Testament, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, not one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have all become together worthless. There was no one who does good, not even one. You can read the following verses, Romans 3, 9 and following, until you get to no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. And this is explicitly pointed out in his 3-page draft document. Because Fred believed that's where he started. And that's where we all are by nature. But it doesn't end there. The Lord's apostle Paul in Romans 3, 21 says, now a righteousness from God has been made known apart from the law, a righteousness to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Sinner, yes. Forgiven sinner in those precious waters, yes, as the Apostle Paul himself was told, arise and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. That water does something not because it's simple water, but because it's water given and used by God's command and connected with his word, and that word is all powerful. He spoke and said, let there be, and things came to be. And so that life is like an artesian well that wants to keep welling up. Jesus said that in John chapter 4, really. That was the woman at Jacob's well. It'll be like springs of living water. The artesian well that can't be capped. It's just got to keep overflowing. And you realize already that we're into the second verse of the two that he has here. Buried with Christ through baptism. But verse 4 of Romans 6 also tells us this. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We can't help it. We're now also connected by that word-powered water to the life of Christ. And that life has to get out. That life has to express itself fearlessly, courageously, as God gives opportunities. Remember Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. You're saved by grace through faith and not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works. No one can boast. Verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So in that new life that God created in baptism, Fred looked around. He sees a pocket here between churches that he knows would teach God's word in its truth and purity. I was blessed by the fact that years before, he had gone to the St. Louis Seminary, Missouri Synod. because what he knew of liturgy was taught from the professor, I guess, that was behind the Lutheran hymnal, which Fred loved all his life. And our liturgical, my classmate, Pastor Hatzung, can assert this, we were basically taught by student reports while we were at SEM, and it's improved tremendously since that time, but there were glaring holes in my education. And it became apparent just talking with Fred. He had to express those things, but never in criticism, never of pointing out the glaring ignorance, no matter how glaring it was at the time. There were questions, there were encouragements, there were sharing of what could be better here. The richness of our congregation is so much better than it ever would have been. In fact, I really believe there would be no congregation here if it were not for God's working in Fred Schmoege. God called me to be the founding pastor, but I've always looked at Fred really as before I got here. Retired at the time, yes, but still a pastor and on the ELS roster as I knew him, Wells member, but taking vacancies in the Evangelical Lutheran Synod. He just had to overflow with God's grace through baptism. He worked as an engineer, you know, for Sperry Remington, and said there was one time when he had to point out something. It was quality control or something. I don't remember the details. But some mocking coworker left a sign on his desk that said, "Hero." Fred put it right out front in the middle of his desk where everybody could see it as they walked past. Who cares? As long as God is glorified. That's why, like so many brothers in Christ, the brothers in particular will say, no eulogies. We're not having eulogies. We're praising God, not the man. It all has to be to the glory of God, come what may. So when he saw the pocket of about 10 miles equidistant from Three Wells churches, he got hold of the mission board, but this is after he did the demographics and said, we need a church here. The call came in May of 1986. I told you about coming and Fred and Doris putting me up while they were trying to find a house. And Fred was looking too because he had his realtor's license somewhere along the line as well. So 3 years in Snail Lake School, just a mile north here. And everything set up, takedown from September 13th of 1987 to when we moved in here. But this property was found because Fred found it, along with two others, because the mission board wanted a couple others, but none was like this. And a way that was bought also at a tremendous price. I can tell you those details some other time, but it just one thing after another. And then there were the conferences when Fred would go along or in those early years. So I think it was the first one driving up to Duluth. He explained how as churches plunged into the lies of evolution, he helped Bill Overn start the Twin Cities Creation Science Association. And I started to ask him questions. He was as much a scientist as he was a pastor and an engineer besides. He was answering my questions on dinosaurs, et cetera, things that I had wondered about for the longest time. I've never had such a quick trip up to Duluth and back. 4 hours of questions, and I wasn't out yet. And the years that he was willing to and able to give creation presentations here at New Life, very well received. Just so much detail there. A child of God, growing in grace, studying and growing and listening and sharing. I couldn't realize at the time that long before our well started its current mentoring system, I had a mentor, somebody that I could ask questions who would give me honest answers. I remember his smile one time saying, no, we didn't have to deal with that when I was a pastor. Not things like that, no. But what he could tell, he did. We had a time, I think it was at Christmas, when you brought your dad to service here, and one of our newer members walked up and said, Fred, I feel like I already know you, because Pastor Cordes talks so much about you in Bible classes. God has given me a memory of where I learned something and who it was that taught me. And it's so rich with memories of Fred. the readings that I gave, I'm remembering conversations of how in John chapter 3 could they say this is not baptism? Well, they say it's amniotic fluid. Really? That's Nicodemus's problem right there. One conversation after another. That's the way he was. The life in Christ. What else could explain the energy? Up until their mid-80s, Fred and Doris were here on work days raking with the best of them. And an earlier work day, there was only one member that showed up at the parsonage, church property, that needed some work. And I believe that was the day that Fred explained to me how to rake like a bohemian. What's that, Fred? Long strokes, not these short, choppy strokes of 10 years of summers raking needles and wood chips in Central Oregon. Oh no, these are Midwest leaves. You got to rake like a bohemian. And he did. But there was still the energy to keep the van in Belle Plaine when he needed to go visit Doris after he couldn't take care of her here in Vadnais Heights any longer himself. But he had to drive those few blocks over to see her every day into that time when she would laugh and say she didn't remember the way home. But her chaplain says, yeah, she was the one that sang the hymns. And right up to the end, she could get started in Lord's Supper and know the liturgy and receive that Holy Supper to her blessing and the energy still. All the way home with Jesus. Buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too should walk about in newness of life. The energy was there whenever I would have a conversation with Fred, because he was still sharing insights, asking questions, because God kept his mind sharp. How amazing the grace and mercy of God. The verse right after our text really says, the NIV says, being united, if we have been united with him like this in his death, literally it says, if we have been planted with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. This planting of the souls. Just for fun, I thought you should hear a quote from Martin Luther on this point. This is why Lutheran churches that have cemeteries have often had the sign over the entry into the cemetery, God's Acre. It goes back to some things that Martin Luther said in his insights based on that verse, planted with Christ, buried with him through baptism. He says, the apostle speaks consolingly of the death of the Christian as being planted, to show that the Christian's death and sufferings on earth are not really death and harm, but a planting unto life, being redeemed. By the resurrection from death and sin, we shall live eternally. For that which is planted is not planted unto death and destruction, but planted that it may sprout and grow. So Christ was planted through death unto life. For not until he was released from this mortal life and from the sin which rested on him and brought him into death on our account, did Christ come into his divine glory and power. Since this planting begins in baptism, as said, and we by faith possess life in Christ, it is evident that this life must strike root in us and bear fruit. For that which is planted is not planted without purpose. It is to grow and bear fruit. So must we prove by our new conversation, the way we walk about in life, and by our fruits, that we are planted in Christ unto life. God's acre. That's where we plant our loved ones, looking forward to the resurrection when we will be glorified in these bodies as Christ is glorified. As from that oldest book of the Bible, book of Job, when he said, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he shall stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. These eyes shall behold him, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. And our hearts yearn for that great reunion, the eternal day with God. Martin Luther said in another place, if we could just be there on that day and look back from where Fred is now in the arms of our Heavenly Father, and look back, we would also say, for all these troubles in this life are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Oh Lord, looking back. I would go through that 100 times over to get to this glory here. And the Lord could only smile and say, my child, once is enough. Not again. No more tears, no more sorrow, only joy and bliss. And it will take an eternity for me to bless you with all the glory and happiness that I planned for you from all eternity. Forever with the Lord. Baptized and buried, raised again with Christ, we live in his new life now. We honor our gracious God for his love and his grace in so many. His love and his grace shining through to this day, and may it shine through us till that day that never ends in glory with God. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen.